Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our senior pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, Getting Close to Jesus. It's based on the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 17. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning. It's a joy and delight to welcome you this day in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 19. Where you go, I will go. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left with her two sons, without her two sons, and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" This is the word of the Lord. Epistle reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains, as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us pray. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The story about the 10 lepers in Luke's gospel account is, of course, about giving thanks. We know that 10 lepers were healed, but only one returned to say thank you. But it is also a story about leprosy. It is a story about sin. It is a story about healing. It is a story that talks about forgiveness. It is a story about saying thank you and about praising God. And underneath all of it, it is a story about getting close to Jesus. Healing, forgiveness, and giving thanks are all about being close to Jesus. In Luke's gospel account, you and I follow Jesus as he is going east on the border between Samaria and Galilee toward Perea. He enters a particular village, but Luke does not tell us which village it is. The 10 lepers must meet him outside the village. Keep in mind that a leper could not come into close association with other people. Leprosy is an individual and a social disease. It affects the body. It affects and brings hideous disfigurement. It isolates this unfortunate person from others. Both social and religious purity codes demanded that lepers must keep their proper distance. And they obeyed the Old Testament injunction. Look at Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Sin is an individual and a social disease. Sin affects each one of us individually. It ruins our thinking, and it ruins our speaking. It ruins our acting. Short tempers, impatience, and impulsive reactions are all results of our sinfulness. Cool, calculating deceptions are sinful actions too. Sin also isolates us from others. And with good reason, we stand off. We stand far away from the most important person in our life, Jesus Christ. We are the spiritual lepers standing away from our Savior Jesus. Our sin separates us from our Lord. And if left untreated, our sin would separate us from God forever. The lepers in our story did not presume to rush up to Jesus or to grab him and to demand healing. They were humble. They acknowledged their distance. They acknowledged their leprosy. They were in a very woeful condition. In those days, leprosy was considered almost incurable. It was a fatal disease that made a person an outcast in society. Anyone who has witnessed leprosy in its advanced incurable stages will get some idea of the terrible physical condition of these 10 men. What the 10 lepers say clearly indicates that they had heard about Jesus. When they see Him, they shouted, "Master, have mercy on us." And Master indicates, if nothing else, high respect. They were in a truly pitiful condition, but they continued to cry out. They pleaded and they begged. Their cry attracted Jesus' attention. This plainly indicates Jesus' humanity. And then what He says clearly indicates His divinity. His command contains a promise. Jesus knew that the priests were the only ones who were authorized to declare a leper spiritually clean after the disease had been overcome. Leprosy and sin did not push Jesus away from these lepers. Instead, He speaks words of healing. "Go and show yourselves to the priests." He proclaims, "I will make you clean. Go." The word of Jesus contains the power to heal them. And then Jesus makes an implicit promise to these lepers with His words. If they go forward, trusting in Him, they will indeed be cleansed, and they will be able to show that cleanliness to the priests. So it is that Jesus tells the one grateful leper who returned that it is his faith that has saved him. The faith of the leper is faith in Jesus' promise spoken earlier. That faith has shown itself in two ways. The leper indeed went, as all the other lepers did, to the priests, believing that he would be cleansed. And the faith of the thankful leper has, however, given birth to worship, as true faith does. It receives the healing, and then it returns to the giver with praise. Faith not only believes and latches on to the word of Christ and acts on that promise, but it also results in thanksgiving. Sinners cannot merely approach God and to get something for themselves. Faith that saves is not a selfish getting from God. True faith believes and is then connected and united to Christ in grateful worship. To be at Jesus' feet to worship is the true outcome of forgiveness. We as sinners do the same thing. We cry out to Jesus. We also come before our Lord, acknowledging our sin. We do not presume or demand anything or try to earn mercy based on our own best efforts. We cry out and we beg for mercy. The divine service on Sunday mornings is a weekly living example of this. What comes first in the liturgy? Distance. We acknowledge that we are far away from our Lord. We confess our sins, asking God for forgiveness. We say, as we did just moments ago, "Let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in the Kyrie, you and I sing the same words spoken by these 10 lepers. "Lord, have mercy upon us." "Christ, have mercy upon us." These are not empty words, but passionate words asking for grace and for mercy. But how does Jesus respond to our cry? Does He keep His distance away from us? Does He run away from us like a child who sees something disgusting Does he avoid defiling himself as a very pious Pharisee would do? No. Sin does not push Jesus Christ away from us. To us, Jesus Christ gives words of absolution. I forgive you all your sins. Jesus does not abandon us. Instead, He comes close and He takes our sin, no matter how disgusting it is, no matter how disfigured it has made us. He takes our sin to bear it for us. He takes our sin and dies for it. Jesus Christ truly wants us to give Him our sin. We cry out to Him in confession so that He may forgive us. And then we receive an invitation. An invitation to get close to Jesus. It is clear from our text that all 10 lepers were healed at the very same time. It is clear from our text that only one of them, the moment that he realized that he was indeed healed, turned around and went back. It is clear from our text that the 10 lepers had not gone very far. But the man who came back was glorifying God with a loud, joyful noise as he came back to the man from Nazarene. He was acknowledging that Jesus had indeed healed him. Did he recognize Jesus as true God? I think we can say that he did. Our story ends with the one leper returning in thankfulness and thanksgiving and falling at the feet of Jesus in worship. The distance is gone, even for this foreigner, this dreaded and ridiculed and abandoned Samaritan, taken away by Christ's words of healing. We can imagine the former leper, the former outcast from Israel, even by his nationality, grabbing hold of Jesus in profound worship and love. And here the cleansed leper is prostrate on the ground in a visual gesture of respect, reverence, and thanksgiving. This former leper is so deeply moved that even though a priest had not yet pronounced him spiritually clean, he came back to be up close and personal to a man who was not affected by leprosy. The former leper and Jesus have now been united and are bound together. Commenting on this story, Martin Luther writes, "That is true worship, to return and praise God with a loud voice, which is the greatest work in heaven and in earth, the only thing we can show God. Anything else we dare not, are not even capable of it. But He loves to be loved and to be praised by us. How few there are that return, hardly one out of 10. All human beings, under ordinary circumstances, are disappointed and saddened when other people do not acknowledge the receiving of gifts. Even unbelievers recognize that fact. How much more should not a person who has received an exceptional gift from God himself acknowledge the giver? The words of Jesus convict us all. Was no one found to return and to give praise to God except this foreigner? We have to ask ourselves, how little do we really glorify God for our redemption and for so many other gifts? What a shame it is when we stubbornly carry on with our own business, disregarding God's guidance and direction in our lives. What a shame it is when we forget to worship regularly in His house. What a shame it is when we thoughtlessly mumble our way through our prayers. And what a shame it is when we do not return to Him even the $1 out of the $10 He has given us. Some people, all too many in fact, like 9 out of the 10 lepers, miss or ignore this invitation to be close to Jesus. And that is what failing to give thanks is, missing an invitation, because giving thanks is really all about being close to Jesus. He has brought us close to Him by healing us and forgiving us through His death on the cross. And now we are free to grab Him, to hold Him, to spend every single moment being close to the One who gives us such good and gracious gifts. You and I can still get close to Jesus when our sins are forgiven. Even these sins that I have just mentioned. The distance between us and Jesus is indeed removed by His cross and His words of forgiveness. We still do have that invitation to come to Him in praise and worship and thanksgiving with no boundaries separating us. We can be absolutely confident and joyful that He is always with us, that nothing can separate us from His love. Dear friends in Christ, the story about the 10 lepers from Luke's gospel account is actually our story. The one leper who returns is, by the grace of God, the one that you and I are called to be. This divine service, this liturgy that you and I take part in, is a liturgy of thanksgiving and praise for our Lord's healing words spoken to us that remove the leprosy of sin. We are clean, we are forgiven, we are holy, we are free. We are free to come to our Lord and to praise Him and to thank Him that He is always with us, that He and we are one. We are close to Jesus now and always. Now may the mercy and love of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn for this day, number 686.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
A brief reminder.